We have four scriptures, four short scriptures to read. The first is from the first epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God would is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And the second scripture is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Our third scripture from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, last scripture from the first of Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 4 to 9. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless that word to us.
It is a strange thing and a sad thing that bad news is more penetrating than good. It is more penetrating because it affects the lives of people in a much greater way on the surface. And thinking about this over the last few months, my mind has considered some of the occupation of Christians in the last decade. And in particular, the last 2 or 3 years. We have heard, and much has been written, about the sorrowful state of the world in which we live. How that the moral standards have sunk to an ever-increasing low level. How that violence is in the earth everywhere. And moreover, we have been told the poor conditions in the church and among even believers. Now it seems to me that if you keep on hearing bad news, it penetrates to such an extent in our lives that we become discouraged. It penetrates our lives to such an extent that we despair and give up. It penetrates our lives to such an extent that we say, well, what's the use? And whilst we are overoccupied with the troubles of this world and the troubles among the church, the believers and the church, then you can rest assured, dear brethren, that the time allotted to the occupation of those things is at the expense of something else, much better. I don't want to talk about the troubles of the world, or the church, or believers today. I want to, if you will, to have a meditation with me. For this is what it is. It's a message that would take you back to the very beginning of your Christian life. And it seems to me this might be a very good starting point. And so I've chosen, as an example from the scriptures, the Thessalonian saints. And think on them at a moment, just a moment. Think of them. They were young in the faith. But 20 years or so after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. 20 or 25 years after. The word of the gospel, and the apostle speaks of it as the word of the Lord, had come to them. They'd received it. The word of the Lord came to us at a certain time in our lives. And we with joy believed it, just as the Thessalonians. And he goes on to exhort them and encourage them in one way or another. But he sums it up, as it seems to me, in one particular verse, which shines out as a jewel in chapter 1. He says, the word of the Lord came to them, and they turned to God from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Turn to God from idols. You say, well, we're not idolaters. Well, we won't go into that too deeply. But we may not be those that worshipped idols of gold or silver or stone in the temples of the East. May not be. But nevertheless, we had that which occupied our hearts and souls to such an extent that we were enslaved to them. They are just as much idols, dear brethren, as the gold and the silver and the stone that have ears to hear and cannot hear, and mouths to speak that cannot speak, and hands to hands that cannot move or bless, just as much. But he goes on to say that turning, that call to God by the Holy Spirit, he says, was for two purposes: to serve the true and the living God. The true and the living God. The true God. There are other gods, the God of this world, even Satan, a liar from the beginning, and a deceiver that deceives the world and would deceive you and I, if it were possible, save for the protection of the Holy Spirit. But the living God too, it says, to serve the true and the living God. This is as opposed to the idols that had no life in them. We've come to a living person. You say, well, we serve. Indeed you do. And God bless you in your service. And if it's possible, add to your service. And nothing this afternoon I say would deter you from service. Continue in it. But there is one other essential element. It says, and to wait for his Son from heaven. That was the message to the Thessalonians. You say, well, that was a company of people, company of individuals. But if you want an individual, we have Titus. Now, he was a learned brother. He was very gifted, and yet the message was just the same to him. The great apostle, having spoken to him of the wonderful grace of God, he gave him exhortations, and then he speaks of looking unto the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Just the same message. And Peter too, the beloved Apostle Peter, he had perhaps a different view of it, but nevertheless it was just the same that filled his heart. As he lifted up in worship, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us to a lively hope, something that's alive within us, a living hope. Now, dear brethren, who am I to ask such a question? So ask it of yourself. Are you waiting for God's Son from heaven? Are you looking for the fulfillment of the blessed hope? Is that hope within you a lively hope expressing itself in your daily life? I ask not the question, ask it of yourself. It is important, for to my mind, it is the very essence of life. For whatever service we have, if it hasn't the hope before us and the presentation of the hope to others, it will be very poor. It will not bring the joy that you want, and it will not bring the fruit either. So one dares to ask the question, are we asleep? Are we asleep? Well, the Thessalonians, they weren't asleep. They weren't asleep. But the apostle gave them a grave warning. He said, let us not sleep as do others. As do others. There were those that were asleep. 25 years after the crucifixion, the hope had been lost to some of them. They were asleep like the virgins. Are we in that condition? Or are we waiting for God's Son from heaven? The Thessalonians were told not to sleep, but let us be sober and let us watch. It was an expectancy that was presented to them in the coming of Jesus Christ from the glory. But there were those that were asleep. And maybe the apostle was thinking of the Ephesians, those to whom he had unfolded the whole counsel of God. He says, awake thou that sleepest from among the dead. So don't rest upon the fact that you have a great knowledge. If you are asleep, you're not expressing the life that God has given you. You're certainly not waiting for God's Son from heaven. It is important for us to think like that. But this hope that is given to us in Christ Jesus, it is a hope that is not remote. Not remote. We sometimes would say, oh yes, we know the Lord is coming, but that's in the future, distant future. It may be or it may be not. I know not. But it may be tonight. It could be. And what would be your position? Are you expecting? Are you consciously aware that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh? Or is it something remote to the future? In the dim ages to come? Or is it something that's real to you and your life? Something that will help you to express the life eternal more fully. It is not something that's remote. And moreover, it's not something that's to be doubted. It's not a hope that's unsure. This is why we read that portion in the Hebrews. God has sealed this hope with a promise, with an oath, by himself, and by all the work and the glory of Christ Jesus on the cross, in that he raised him from the dead. Now that hope is within the veil. And what does it say of the hope? It is like an anchor. An anchor that's been thrown out from the ship to the bed of the sea to hold the ship fast in the storms around. If we realize that that hope within us is an anchor, we will not fret or worry or concern ourselves too much with the troubles of the world, the troubles of the church. It doesn't mean to say we shouldn't think about them. Indeed, we do, and it's a sad thing to see. But not to be overoccupied. Our anchor is in, within the veil, whither our Lord has already entered. But it says it's sure and steadfast. This is not a maybe hope. It's a certain hope, because God has sealed it with an oath. By himself and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In that he has entered into the glory already, received up into heaven after his resurrection. And for what wonderful purpose, that he might be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, that was the king priest who brought blessing, blessing, blessing. That's the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ in the glory. And we're also told in the 6th of Hebrews of the full assurance of hope. It's not a 90% assurance. It's a full assurance. And it is the very essence of the faith that we have. For, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you haven't got a living hope, an expressive hope within you, and looking and waiting for the God's Son from heaven, then you're missing out on faith, which is another question. But let us think for a moment of the wonderful hope. Just think of it. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of an archangel and the trump of God. Think of that, dear brethren. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's not going to send another one. He's not even going to send Michael or Gabriel or some other angelic being, great that they be. His own are very, very precious to him. And when he comes forth, he will come himself. And he will come on the cloud of glory. And it seems to me that at that moment, dear brethren, you and I will know full salvation. So we're saved now. Yes, we are saved now by faith. God's word says so. We have faith in it. We are saved. He that believeth hath passed from death to life. There isn't any doubt about it. But we know that we are in the weakness of the body. We know that we fail. There are many things that go wrong. But that moment, that wonderful moment when the Lord comes on the cloud of glory, it seems to me that he will hold out his hands as he ever did whilst on earth. You say, come to me, my beloved, and we shall all go. What a wonderful moment it will be when the dead in Christ shall rise first, And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That moment you and I will know the fullness of salvation. Salvation. Delivered from all the powers of evil, delivered from death, delivered from the sorrows of this world, the aches and pains of the body, and every other thing that causes distress, that moment will be full salvation. Also, have you thought much? It says, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. We know that he is holy. We know that he is glorified. And in that moment, John the Apostle tells us, we shall be like him. It almost stuns one into silence to think of the grace of God. Indeed, the Apostle John says, behold the manner, consider deeply the manner of love which the Father hath bestowed upon us. As he goes on to say, we shall be like him. And then it says, because we shall see him. See him. The very seeing the Lord. Now, we have never seen the Lord ourselves, except by the eye of faith. But what a moment that will be when we see our Saviour face to face. Face to face. What a moment when we see the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, face to face. We shall be like him. And then it seems as if, to my mind, he will then, having gathered his own all together, he will turn and take us to heaven. Take us to heaven. I know it sounds like a fairy story, but it's true, dear brethren. This is what the Lord is going to do. Take us to heaven. He's not going to take us as we are. He's going to take us so that we are like him. And as we enter the gates of glory, he's going to put us in that place prepared. Now, we don't know much about heaven, but we know it's a vast expanse. There are great multitudes of heavenly hosts there surrounding the throne. There's going to be a place for the Lord's own before the throne. It seems to me that he will take us there. And then as he looks upon us, he will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What a moment that will be for the Lord. We've spoken of our blessing. What a moment it will be for us. Well, what a moment that will be for our Lord Jesus Christ as he looks upon you and I and all the redeemed and sees the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Well, when we see him, we shall be satisfied too, won't we? As the psalmist says, when I shall see him, I shall be satisfied. But what a wonderful moment it will be for the Lord as he looks upon us. And taking up the thought in Ephesians, it seems as if he will present us to himself. A close bond with the Lord. holy, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And then it seems he will turn toward the throne and present us to the Father. When he says, with joy filling his heart, behold I and the children whom thou hast given me. What a wonderful moment that will be when the Lord shall descend himself from heaven with a shout. And the apostle in Corinthians says it is in the twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. No longer to know the weakness of this earth, but to know the strength of glory. For there is no darkness, no sin, no sorrow, only joy in the presence of God. I must also speak a little upon the appearing. Though that is not my main message, dear brethren, the message is the hope of the Lord's coming for his own. But his appearing in glory should be no less precious unto us. For when he was here on earth, he was despised and rejected of men. He was hated without a cause. And at the cross, at the trial, they spit upon him, falsely accused him, and at the cross they railed on him. He saved others, himself he cannot save. And as it were, we come back to earth to think on this. We realize the grace wherein we stand in hope of the glory of God, the grace of God. But as we know him as the rejected Nazarene, that we acknowledge the Christ of God, our Saviour, God hath glorified him now. But he will come forth in glory from the Father's home to set up on this earth a righteous kingdom. A kingdom where there is only right done. And evil will not be tolerated. The evil of today, the violence of today, will not be allowed. The righteous kingdom, when the Lord will reign in glory. And he will bring blessing even then, for he will lift from this poor earth the curse, and it shall bring forth seven times. And the sun shall shine forth seven times its strength. And it shall be that there will be a young babe, as it were, 100 years old. Length of life will be extended. The righteous kingdom. When the Lord shall reign in glory. And we should value that, dear brethren. Our rejected Saviour. He's going to reign. And we not only should be selfish in the sense that we look only for the hope, but we should also look for the appearing in glory of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. But as I said, I don't want to speak too much about that period. So I will return just a little to the hope that we have. And an earlier thought, are we sleeping? Or are we in danger of sleeping? You answer the question, not me. And so I would turn finally to Romans. Romans, the apostle says, you know the time. We know all about what's happening around us. Now in the time, now he says, listen to this. It's high time to awake out of sleep. It's time you started moving out of sleep. And this is not going to do you any good. For you're being robbed of joy. You're being robbed of opportunity. You have been robbed of the anticipation and expectancy of the fulfilled hope in Christ Jesus. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For what reason? For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Do you realize that, dear brethren? We were saved to go to glory. And every day that passes is a day nearer home. And considering the evils around in the world today, of which the scripture has told us they will be, plainly told us these things will be, so we should not become discouraged. We should encourage ourselves in the hope. Therefore, he says, awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. This is true, dear brethren. You think on these things. We are children of light, as he said to the Thessalonians. We are children of light and children of God. And we are not to do the works of darkness, but we are to be sober and to watch. But in Romans, he sets for us two wonderful things, or perhaps three. He tells us that the night is far spent. And then he says, having told us to awake out of sleep, he says, put on the armour of light. Now in Ephesians, we're told to take the armour of God. Now here we're told to put on the armour of light. In a world of darkness, with an armour of light, it will be seen. It will be displayed. It will be known. It will be effective. For if it doesn't bring those souls to Christ, it will surely make them ashamed. The armour of light. But it is a two-edged sword, isn't it? If you don the armour of light, we're then told of the character that's expected of us. We ourselves will be very conscious that we shouldn't do this or that because the world does it. That's not the thing that Christians should do. And I think this is what the beloved Apostle John had when he spoke those wonderful words in his third chapter. When we see him, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. He then goes on and he says, he that hath this hope within himself purifieth himself. It seems to me he's trying to say that the very expectancy of that moment when we shall be like him, holy, perfect, pure, we should even now strive to be like himself. In this world, so we should don the armor of light. And then he follows it up, says, put on Christ. This is the same thought, the cloak of Christ around us, so that we display him while we wait in patience the glorious day, glorious moment, when we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Awake thou that sleepest. Awake. Put on the armor of light. Put on Christ.